Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about needles, why we are so scared of them, the evolutionary basis as to why, tips for how you can get over that fear, and also speaking about how we just got vaccinated!
Yeah!
Bam, 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 bam! The first dose. We're not Dublade. We're not Dublade up.
We are Canadian after all, so we just got dose number one.
Not going to be doubled till September, maybe, but it feels so good to have my cells, just my RNA absolutely building those spike proteins, my immune system coming in there, my T cells absolutely doing their thing. I'm horny for my T cells.
It'd be so fun to be able to look at them right now on like a microscopic level get to know what's happening, get intimate with our cells, you know?
My body is so cool. And your body, if you're listening to this, is also so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the vaccine in thine arm. I just have the best freaking day.
Since this episode is about vaccines, like, I kind of want to, like, why don't we talk, like, jump into what did we learn this week?
And
we'll talk about our whole vaccine experience when we get there. We're just making so many weird noises.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So I learned this week about the species Lantra canadensis. Do you have any idea what the Lantra canadensis was?
Because
you
say it without an accent on.
There was no accent. That's just how you speak science.
No, you're going Lantra canadensis.
That's like Mitch. That's how you speak science.
No, what are you talking about?
Lantra canadensis.
Okay, say it as though you're not speaking science, so I can hear what letters you're actually.
Oh, like a normal person. Okay, Lantra canadensis.
Okay, so canadensis. I'm like,
there's
in
no
Canada?
Way. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine.
It's a Canadian animal.
You saw this animal recently. That's why I'm doing it.
A type of bird?
No, not bird. Similar to a weasel, similar to a skunk.
Ooh, an otter.
Yeah, the Mustelid family. It's an otter.
Lantra. Okay, okay. What are you going to tell me about the otter?
So we saw a river otter recently sunning itself on a dock. It was
so cute.
Because I bird now, I had binoculars, which is just, honestly, everyone get a pair. Okay. You know what I mean? You don't need a new pair of shoes. You need a new pair of binoculars because it makes the whole world come into a whole new vision and focus.
Anytime we leave the house in Greg's and we see a cool bird or even just a basic bird and Greg doesn't have his binoculars.
No such thing as thine basic bird, my friend.
Okay, fine. But you're always like, oh my God, I forgot my binoculars. What am I thinking? And I'm like, okay,
I don't leave the house without them now. Even when I go to the corner store, I just walk in looking like I'm fully on a National Geographic trek. Well, I'm like, you never know. There might be a red-tailed hawk eating a pigeon on top of one of these convenience stores one day. And I do not want to miss out on looking deeply and closely at
skill.
That experience.
Anytime I pull the binoculars open, I am unable to find the thing.
Oh my God, it is such a skill that you, like, it's there's, you know, there's great things in life, like an orgasm, and it's close to it. When you lift up those binoculars and then you hit exactly the little bird you're trying to look at, boom, you think, bam, what is that eye and hand-eye coordination?
You know, that's where the phrase "to each their own" comes from, I guess.
Yeah. So the otter we were able to look at through the binoculars, it was so freaking cool. And so it was a river otter. And of all the otter species in the world, the river otter in northern Ontario is the only one that's not endangered.
Cute. Okay.
There's a lot of environment for it to live. It actually became endangered in parts of America due to lack of conservation and like humans, you know, obviously like building a bunch of things. But due to since the 1970s, they've been able to bring them back. They're doing really well. They're nearsighted when they're on land, but when they're underwater, they can see better. And they actually use their whiskers to catch fish or frogs. It's like they eat like just like these cute things. Like I love that I didn't have to read that they ate, you know, like, you know, other otters,
right? Yeah, sometimes when sometimes you find out animals that are cute. I said this in a different podcast, but I was watching a little doc on dragonflies because I think they're so cool. But the little doc, it was on YouTube, and someone made it scary and they put scary music, and then because they're carnivorous, I was like, that's terrifying, and now I don't know if I like them anymore because they eat other creatures, and it's really sad.
Well,
but
no,
I know that's a circle of life.
But my
just
friend.
All that to say that when you find a cute animal that you find adorable, also is not brutally murdering something.
Yeah, it's great. It says on rare occasion it eats birds, and we're gonna skip over past that point.
How?
What was so interesting about what we were seeing was that it was like sunning itself. It was absolutely adorable. It looked like it was playing, and there was something very playful about it, and what I
very
found,
dog-like about it.
Yeah, I know it was that's kind of such a human thing itself. To do. I'm always like, it's like a dog.
Or yeah, no, I know it's kind of stupid, but
it rolled on its
licking
back.
Itself and rubbing itself, yeah. And just it was doing the Ernie thing where it constantly was rolling on its back.
So what I learned is that they're very playful as animals in a way that people like evolutionary biologists don't actually know exactly why, but they will waste quote unquote their energy to go up a surface and slide down it over and over and over, and there's no real reason to do it other than they think like playing with each other to create social cohesion, which is like adorable.
So cute. Also like dogs. Have you ever seen a dog slide down a slippery snowy hill? It's adorable.
Oh my God, I think that's a TikTok, right?
Well, I mean, Greg, that's a TikTok. I mean, there have been TikToks. I'm just like, that is also a thing that's been around for a long time before TikTok.
Wait, what do you mean? Like, that's common
videos
for dogs to do?
Yeah, there's like, what do you say? What's that TV show, America's Funniest Home Videos? They're okay. Like dogs sliding down hills and they run back up and they slide back down again. It's so
that's
silly.
So funny because I just think of the human behind it, like forcefully, you know what I mean? Like bringing the dog up and then pushing the dog
it's
down.
A production.
But you're like, I see, like you're saying they're doing it because they're having fun. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. And they also do this weird thing where they defecate like in a line. If there's a group of them, one will poo and then the other will smell, then poo and smell, then poo. And
what?
And they realize it's like
a conga poo line.
And it's a way of them learning about each other, like understanding nutrition, just like, you know, sniffing someone's poo. Like you learn a lot of it. Like if you were to smell my poo, you'd be finding out I'm a vegetarian because it smells like shit.
Also, like dogs. So basically otters are dogs.
Wait, what do you mean? Does that also
dogs sniff each other's poo? I mean, they don't get in the Congo line, but they sometimes sniff each other's butts, each other's poo, and sometimes even eat it.
Oh, wow. Okay, you know what? Then we've just
is that your next fact?
No.
And sometimes they eat it.
The lawn truck Canadensis is a dog. Okay, cool.
Imagine this whole time you were reading the Wikipedia page for dog.
They're like, they actually only eat other otters. I'm like, what? So anyways, love river otters. I'm happy for Canada to keep them thriving and just another adorable animal we should all, you know, just be appreciative of.
In that moment, I realized my drag name should be kind of a scientific Latin-inspired name, you know. Micholis phagophosis. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's good.
something that is like inspired by
it. It also sounds
name.
Like a spell in Harry Potter that you could cast on someone and they become gay.
And that's what you just yell as a drag queen.
Micholis phagophosis. And then the people they're like, oh my God, I have like sexual, I'm like Kinsey scale too. All of a sudden. Not enough gay representation in Harry Potter.
Is there any?
While you're reading it.
Oh,
well, no,
yeah.
There's the retroactive
changing of characters.
I would have loved, like, you know, like a kind of like bitchy gay that kind of like that like was from like obviously Slytherin that kind of like, you know, fucked with shit a little bit on their own. That would have been such a good character.
Don't slander Slytherin because I'm honestly not. No, I know you're not, but bitchy there's a lot great. Of people out there that just pretend that Harry Potter wasn't also maybe going to be in Slytherin. And I just am standing up for all the Slytherins out there.
Because everyone, whenever they're like, what are your thing? Mitch always gets told Slytherin.
And I am proud of it, okay? And Slytherins can be proud and they don't have to be mean. I don't know the exact traits and words they use for them, but we're just determined, motivated people. And Harry Potter was almost a Slytherin and you don't have to be evil to be Slytherin. And the book didn't give enough info. And everyone who's Slytherin, you can feel a little bit better knowing I am a Slytherin as well.
Wow, self-identifying as Slytherin.
And anyone who self-identifies as Gryffindor is self-aggrandizing.
Yeah, actually, that is more fucked up.
It's like, oh, wow, you think you're the hero of this story? Like,
if you self-identify as Gryffindor, you are Slytherin.
Exactly. At least Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw means you know yourself well enough to
Well, the thing is that like I'm probably Hufflepuff, and it's like, yeah, at least Slytherin's in the book. Like, I wouldn't even be in the book. I would just be walking in the background and like a painting dimension. Would be like, you're a fag, and I'd be like, what? And like, that'd be my own
oh
scene.
Oh my god. My what'd you learn this week is also about an animal that maybe would kill an otter, but hopefully not. It's cats. So there was a really interesting citizen science study that came out recently called, at first, If It Fits, I Sits. You know the meme about cats sitting in boxes?
No, but yes. You don't,
what? Okay, Greg.
The shock. I'm like, I don't know that meme.
Sometimes I don't know if you use the internet. There's just like so many memes and pictures of cats sitting in boxes, and it became If It Fits, I Sits. Okay. Cats love to sit in little enclosed spaces.
That's cute.
But even leopards, lions, they all do this. If there's a box present, they'll try and squish themselves into it.
Aww.
So this researcher decided to test something with other people online. So she created these parameters, and she started putting squares made out of tape on the ground, but not only squares, she also created a version of it that was sort of an illusion. So it's called a Kanizsa square illusion, where you kind of show the corners of a square through these like picture circles that have a corner cut out or a little piece cut out that makes a corner of a square.
Okay.
Only those, and then your brain sees the square, even though there are no sides.
Okay.
They would put that in the room, put a tape square in the room, and then got people to test their cats coming into the room when they weren't there and film them.
Oh, cool. Turns to see out, like what is what why are they doing this?
Or will they equally choose those as much as boxes? Turned out they do choose that. They preferentially, other than any other spot in the room or the control condition where there were just other shapes on the ground, seeing an enclosed space, because it creates an illusion, the cat was more likely to sit in those illusion squares.
Cool.
Equally as much as the squares that were fully in tape.
Yeah.
But basically it was looking at their cognition and showing that cats perceive illusions, at least some, in the same way as humans.
Cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Thine brains, thou's brains, be smart.
And I think they said it was one of the first times cats were actually studied in their natural environment. That's why this study was so unique, because in a lab, a cat's obviously not living comfortably and like so, you know, when it's at home, it just like is fine being the way it is naturally,
like a natural environment being a human's house.
Well, yes.
I'm like,
I more mean as opposed to a place where they would feel afraid or not know the humans. They were in their own homes.
That's interesting. I see.
But ultimately it didn't really touch on why cats use boxes or love to sit in small spaces, but the general hypothesis is just that they feel safe.
Now that I have a dog, I want a cat. Because I'm like, I
rude.
Wait,
Ernie
what?
Can hear you from here.
Oh my god, Mitch, that reaction. I'm like, wait, why? Wait, what? It's not against
dogs
Ernie.
Dogs are so much better than cats, girl.
Wow, we just lost half of the people listening to this podcast.
Well, so did you.
No, I just said gone. I wanted a cat. I didn't ever want a dog. I'm so happy I have a dog now because you got it. I'm just saying, that's so interesting. I love that I can understand dogs. I would love to have a cat to like have that. Makes so much more sense to me. I would love to have an otter. I would love to have birds. I would actually not birds. It's like, hello, they need to fly. I would love to have, actually, I guess even an otter would be like, I need water. Okay, fine. I see what's happening here. I would love to have a bunny. I just like the more animals and cognition that I can understand, I think the better, just like for my life.
I thought you were trying to say,
LOL, do you thinking I'm like cheating on Ernie?
Yeah, cheating on Ernie. That's not okay. But I do respect people can be cat people just like people can be Slytherin people, and that's okay.
Yeah, you can't come here defending Slytherin and then shit on cat people.
Well, I break the mold, girl. I'm a Slytherin that likes dogs, okay?
Yeah, I think that means you're Ravenclaw. Okay,
no, that means I'm the main character. Let's go.
Wow, that's a Gryffindor thing to say. You're all over the place.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Today we are talking about eikmophobia, which is the fear of needles, as opposed to trypanophobia, which is a fear of injections.
Oh, true. I wrote down trypanophobia.
Okay, interesting. I know, because I was right. Like, I was doing getting into the research, and I was like, wait, there's two?
Mm-hmm.
And so injections versus just even the actual fear of seeing needles, both very common. One in four people have eikmophobia, which is just the fear of the needle, not even the inject.
I see. Okay, yes. Well, wow. I mean, let's talk a little bit about this. Our
For those on YouTube, you can see our, well, first of all, our jacked jolt. Arms, ugh. Our absolute summer bodies, our freaking riptonite, RIP that oh, pussy.
Don't do this again.
Arms, and then a little tape with a bit of cotton ball into a I was waiting for you to say it.
What?
Vaccine.
Oh, wait, we got the vaccine. I didn't know where you were going. I'm sorry. This is a disaster. Yes. So how do you feel? We just got back about a few hours ago from getting shot number one, Pfizer vaccine. What was your experience like?
I have a pep in thine step. Mm-hmm. I've been just, you know, like when someone... We went a little walk after when people walked by me. I went, beautiful day, eh? How you doing there? When I saw a baby, I was like, hey there, little baby. You're the cutest little thing I've ever seen. And then I like shimmied my butt and like knocked the stroller. And the mom was like, never come close to my kid ever again.
Oh, no.
But I'm like just absolutely full of life and full of cells making brilliant antibodies, T cells working in overtime, and RNA that's doing an amazing thing in my cytoplasm going nowhere near my nucleus. So let's not be too afraid.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and I'm not going to say to be afraid. It was such a great experience. Easy. Needle did not hurt one bit. Of course, some people experience symptoms, and that could be yet to come for us. Like sometimes your body gets exhausted because your immune system's like firing up. We're going to, is that your shoe? I'm like, there's a mouse in our house.
Yeah,
there is a mouse somewhere. I keep hearing a squeak, squeak. Yeah, so I'm curious. Right now, I feel totally fine. My arm doesn't even feel that sore, although I've been like afraid to touch it. I'm like, I don't want to touch it and trigger it.
Wait, have you ever been afraid of needles?
So, okay. I'm going to tell you
or
what
injections.
Happened. I think mentally-ish, I'm not really afraid of needles. Every single time I get them, I feel, oh, I kind of work it up, and then I'm like, that did not hurt
das
at
it?
All.
That's what I always say to them. I go, das it?
Yeah, you're kind of like, and not to diminish anyone else's experience, but as we get into types of fears of needles, I want to talk about one thing that does happen to me, because there is a subset of people that don't fear needles but still get a biological response in their body. And I think that happens to me.
Yeah.
And I also have anxiety, as everyone knows on this podcast. So sometimes my brain starts going a little like in a way that I'm not consciously trying to have it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And I think the evolution, if we want to get into that right now, which I think is interesting and worth talking about, is that, you know, it's a very new thing to have a tiny little piece of metal injected into us. In the past, and this is the evolutionary biological theory as to why 1 in 4 people are scared of needles. Because in the past, a metal thing going into your flesh would be an increased chance of death. But yeah, ironically,
regardless of size, ultimately.
Yeah, regardless of size, it's still a danger. It's still a potential to say it's like a nail. It's like, oh, well, if that nail is rusty, that leads to infection. You die. There's a lot of reasons why we should fear this. So it's very normal. What's ironic now is that in the, recent, like, I guess it's almost, well, I mean, vaccinations have actually been around for a very long time, true, but the concept of needle vaccinations is more recent. Now it actually saves your life. So it's right, like so interesting. So like
something that stabs you can save you.
And the evolution, like the evolutionary biological benefit of that hasn't caught up with our brains to now be like, oh, I actually am loving and can't wait for this needle because it's actually going to save my life. So like, it's very normal to be afraid,
totally,
of something going into your skin that's metal.
Yes.
From an evolutionary standpoint.
Yeah, and there is a cultural conversation around knowing some people have fear. So I think even as an anxious person, in my mind, that plays. Even though I'm consciously thinking, I'm not that afraid of vaccines or needles, period. I'm not afraid of vaccines. But just knowing, okay, some people are, and I also kind of get that, I think it's called white coat syndrome, where you go to a doctor and your heart rate raises. Like last time, ages ago, I actually got a COVID test back in November or something like that.
Oh, yeah, and they were like...
And the nurse was looking at me and talking to me and was like, how do you feel right now? And I was like, oh, and I'm fine. She was like, are you nervous? And I was like, I guess a little, like I'm anxious, whatever. And she's like, I want you to look at your heart rate on the meter, and it was so high. Of course, I'm like, now it's gonna go higher. Why did you tell me that? And she was like, I'm a little concerned. I didn't know if something's happening to you. It's so high.
You called me crying.
Well, she said, do you want me to send you to Emerge?
Yeah, I was like, what is happening? Wait,
why are you asking me if you should send me to Emerge? Shouldn't you make that decision? And of course, then literally my heart rate went to like 2,000. No, it was probably like 160 or something like that. But ultimately,
no one thought 2,000.
No, I want it to be realistic though, and yeah, say yeah, what no, it actually okay, was yeah, so high. Was really high. And so she then, all that to say, there is a syndrome where some people, when they're getting their blood pressure checked, get nervous, especially if you're at a doctor's office or having a professional doing it. So similar to vaccines, I think it's, or just needles in general, it's that being in a kind of clinical setting or in that environment for anxious people, sometimes you just get nervous.
Yeah, I actually remember getting blood drawn for the first time and like having, it was one of the first times I ever felt like fainting. Like I'd never had that experience yet. Mm-hmm. Once I was in a really crowded McDonald's and almost fainted. And it was like, and it all.
Wait, after getting blood drawn?
No, I'm just like, wow, it was the first time I ever like was, you know, when you're a kid and like there's first time experiences and like fainting, I was like, well, now I was like, I'm dying here in this thine McDonald's. Oh, like, no. Yeah, I actually, like, I didn't know. I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm dying. I'm about to die.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those weird things where I never was allowed McDonald's. And I was like, it was like, I had saved up my money to go into McDonald's. So it felt wrong, and then there I was dying in the place I shouldn't be. Oh, I was like, I'm gonna literally die in the place, like my parents are gonna find me and be like, well, we said not to go to McDonald's, I'm gonna die.
What
in
did
this
we tell you?
Yeah. And then I realized for about 2 or 3 years I didn't like going into McDonald's because of the smell. It was like a weird thing where,
oh,
I was like,
it triggered that,
it like saved
memory
my health probably for a bit, because I was like going to McDonald's and be like, I actually feel like throwing up, and then eventually got over it and I was like, okay, I will love these french fries. But the second time, it was like getting my blood drawn, and I just was like, oh my God. And I had to put my head between my legs, and it was just an interesting thing, because apparently that fainting response and having a fainting experience is one of the reasons that can like solidify a fear,
totally,
of needles and injections. So yes. I'm happy that I haven't had one, but I do think that I kind of do. Like today I was so... I had so much adrenaline to get this vaccine. I was just, I've been waiting for this for so long. Never thought I would be excited for something from Pfizer, but I'm so excited for something from Pfizer. Just like so happy that it just like, I knew it was gonna be easy. But in the past, I've definitely felt like my heart rate increases. Like it's like a physiological mm-hmm. response I can't control.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary to not be able to control your body. Mm-hmm. And I love science. So it's like, right. I can relate
you
to
understand,
people who don't.
Yeah, the reasons that it's not anything to be afraid of. Honestly, in some ways, that is it's just anxiety in general, and or panic attacks remind me of that experience where even when cognitively you're aware, yeah,
it's a shitty feeling.
Your body is out of control, and it can spiral your brain into that. So what happens to me? Well, first I want to say a couple things back to the evolution, and then we'll talk a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Okay. I also want to talk about fainting, the evolution of fainting.
Well, one of the links to needle fear is also blood. So a lot of people have, because you can get blood taken, and so a lot of people have a physical, emotional response to seeing any kind of blood. And so as a result, needles can be associated with that, obviously directly or just in general. Needles remind people of blood.
And again, it makes sense. In evolutionary history, looking at blood leaving your body, not a good sign. A fear response would obviously kick in. And I can't look when people take my blood. I recently had to get 17 vials of blood taken, and I was like,
17?
It was insane. Like, she showed the vials, and I was like, am I even gonna be alive after this? I was like, should I like go eat a sandwich and like drink a bunch of water and maybe like work out? Because I'm like, can I produce that? And she was like, no, it's fine. But I could not look. And I think Instagram and weird things have helped me, because I just like go on my phone.
You see it so often.
Because the blood release from me is actually something I find a lot more, I'm more disturbing. Scared of. Okay. A needle to me is like not nearly as bad. So I'm like on my phone being like, oh wow, what does Oprah have to say? Like Oprah soul food, like just like a lot of Oprah Instagram is like what I was looking at for some weird reason, but it's very comforting.
Wild to think of blood just being taken out in a controlled manner.
Exactly. So yeah, like I'm scary.
Okay. So one other thing I wanted to say about the evolution though, because a lot of people question, well, why on earth would fainting be an evolutionary response?
Oh my gosh, okay, tell me.
And so they think that fainting is a non-verbal signal that is used and developed in response to increased intergroup aggression. They think it evolved in the Paleolithic era.
Okay, we definitely read the same study, because I was like, I did not know this about fainting. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, that fainting shows that you are not a threat.
Throws you not a threat. Yeah, it's like, I was like, why would you faint when you're scared or threatened? Because it's like, then the thing's just going to freaking kill you. The wild boar is going to eat you. But then it's like, no, it's more nuanced than that. Mm. And if it's during the Paleolithic time, it's a sign to someone else that you aren't fighting back. And I'm like, that is really
fascinating. Yeah.
So the needle going in, your fear response is happening. And what ends up happening is that you have a really increase in blood pressure and then a stark decrease in blood pressure, and then you faint. And it's because you're scared and you've evolved this trait in order to show the people around you you're not a threat.
Right. And just so to clarify, it's like intergroup. So yes, it does not help when there's a bear trying to kill you. Yeah. But when there's people around you being aggressive, that's when that can be useful, because no one's going to fight you if you faint.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those weird things.
It's
about
actually
like
you probably will be safer if you just faint around.
And it's
people.
Like toxic masculinity. It's like, oh, I need to save the family by being the man and fighting back. It's like, no, girl, like we all just need to calm down. We need to hash this out. We need to talk.
Faint.
Because you actually getting all aggressive is the reason we're all going to die. That was definitely an extrapolation and not what the study said. So we can move on.
So when were you feeling that feeling most? That kind of, and I believe this
today
is called vasovagal. And
that's fainting.
Actually, yeah, it's the most people experience this type of fear of needles. And like you said, it's actually not the fear of needles itself. It's the fear of having that response and knowing that a needle can trigger it. But for a lot of people, they may have had that experience and now been like, if I get a needle, I'm going to go through that again. My body's going to be flush and I'm going to feel faint and I don't want to have that happen again. And I think that kind of does happen to me.
Wait, what does? The vasovagal?
Yes. I'm like consciously not afraid of needles.
But you go there and you start to get lightheaded and you're
I definitely,
scared you're gonna...
for sure, my heart rate goes up. Even when I'm like, I am not consciously nervous. I'm not. Yeah. Obviously, today I was excited and I have heard stories of some people fainting because they're relieved and they're so happy and excited and all these
yeah
emotions.
Right, they're like, oh, I wasn't scared, I was relieved. It's like, no, girl, you were scared.
If someone's pent up energy to be like, once I get my vaccine or my second dose, like, this is ending, I'm going to be feeling so much relief. Your body obviously can have a lot of emotion.
Your body, emotion.
But I think for me, it's a little more anxiety driven, because when I got the vaccine, I didn't feel it. But then you have to wait for 15 minutes or so. And when I was there, I was like, is my breathing weird?
Not a good situation.
Is my throat,
that's so funny.
Is my throat a little, like every little thing, I was like, my toe just twitched. And I was like, am I, Is something going on? So every the rest of the day, I am going in the next 3 days. Every little thing, I'm going to be like, am I starting to get a sore throat? Am I starting to feel tired?
But even if you did, that's a sign that it's working.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really not. Well, then in my head, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be like the fraction of the statistic that is the person who dies. It's like, what?
Does that actually go through your head? Because first of all, you shouldn't say that because it's like, no one's died.
No, I just mean, you're what? Right.
You be more clear.
okay, relax.
What did you actually think that?
I am playing out for you what my anxious brain does, wow. Even though it can, and it's so triggered by body response first. So I'm sitting there like, oh, I'm so happy. This was amazing. This place is so cool. It was so great.
I bawled my eyes. I was crying.
As soon as I feel a little tick on my throat, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my gosh, do I need to be aware? Like, you know, maybe someone could have a reaction. I know the chances are so rare and like very, very few. Oh and then God. I was like, I know the blood clots are kind of like, I did not get the one that. So I, even though it's irrational, my brain starts to spiral and then I have to go, no, oh my God, relax. Like, this isn't happening. And then I forget about the throat and then I'm like, oh my God, my knee's itching. So that's my existence.
Wow. I honestly was bawling my eyes out with pure joy talking to everyone around me. They were like, stay 6 feet away from me. I'm like, I get the rules, but we can still have a chat. You have to sit there for 15 minutes and I got the time 12:34 is when I should leave. And I just like started another conversation with someone because I was like, I don't want to leave. I just love it here.
I could hear you across the room.
Really?
It is a giant target, like an old Target. Target doesn't exist in Canada anymore. So it was just a Target that has been repurposed for a mass vaccination.
Which is so dystopian and cool.
Yeah. I was like, wow, these lights are a Target. And the floor does look like Target or some Sears or whatever, Walmart. But we were on very different sides of the room. So it's massive. Big enough that I couldn't see where you were, but I could hear Greg talking.
Oh my God.
A mile away, be like, yeah. Like, just like, I'm like, who's he talking
to?
Wow,
homophobic, make fun of my gay voice.
No, that is not making fun of. Yeah. It is highlighting.
Okay, well, that's really funny because it's true. I was so that's so funny. I was not being like, I know I was probably supposed to think like, am I having a reaction? But like, even if I was, I probably wouldn't have even known. I was so excited. We are very different. That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I get why I could have just sat there and been like, okay, let's think about all the physiological feelings I'm feeling because that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
But I didn't know. You definitely don't want that. Trust.
Okay, yeah.
Trust. Okay. That was not voluntary. Okay. Those things are not me going, oh, I should think about this. What I had to do was I had my phone for a bit and I was like, no, I want to take in this moment and like look around and remember this because it's historic, iconic. And then I just like sat there and kind of meditated and was like,
and then you're like, my knee hurts.
that is. Then I'd be like, I need to use my phone to distract myself again. But ultimately I wanted to like take that time, you know, make the mental memory picture, which I know I'll forget because I have the worst memory in the world, but probably won't.
No,
because
it
was
won't.
A pretty significant
moment.
It was
so historic and fascinating and amazing. And I'm so proud of Canada, and I'm so proud of these mass vaccination clinics, and I'm mm-hmm. so proud of these vaccines.
All the people scientists that were organizing it, doing it, they're all amazing. Everyone was so kind, so nice, so friendly, encouraging, congratulating once you got the vaccine. Like, it was just a nice feeling.
Yeah, it was honestly just such a beautiful day, and I'm so excited for everyone to get theirs. So, moving back to the fear. Childhood fear of needles is where a lot of these studies say the fear comes from. So we have this evolutionary basis and we get that. But they think it's exacerbated by what happens in childhood, which is usually that the parent will have a little bit of fear around it and it gets passed on to the child. Like, there are ways that we exacerbate it in our culture. And one study found that parents would remember their kids' first vaccinations of how calm the kids were, and then the kids would be surveyed years later and talk about how traumatizing it was, as if they've like misremembered it. And
their own experience?
Yeah, like as in what they think happens is that people share their stories about their fear or bad experiences with needles, and that the stories actually get tossed around as like lore, and then they amplify the experience because it's like, yeah, I just think that a lot, and I even think about when I fainted that one time, like I remember it so much, and I've definitely talked about it more than all the other times I got needles where nothing happened. Like, with many aspects of life and misinformation, it's a form of misinformation, really. It's more interesting to tell a story of when something went wrong, and then those stories like significantly increase the fear of needles, but also your own memory of it. And then your parents are like, you were fine. And then all of a sudden you have this like wild story where you're like, I was crying and I wouldn't even eat the lollipop after.
They're like, you were too young to remember. You were one when you got that needle.
Yeah. And so they said that the mean frequency as well of needles is around 2 to 11 per year, which again, I was like, that's a big change.
Wait, what?
People get 2 to 11. This is what I'm like. It's such a weird thing. I'm like, that's actually just such a wide range.
Yeah.
But you get around 2 to 11 needles per year.
Okay.
So their point is that like we are getting inundated with them quite often.
You have to face it.
And a meta-analysis found that every decade passes, you get 8.7% less scared of needles. So the fear of needles decreases over
with
time.
Age?
Yes, likely due to an experience. You know, again, the more needles you get, the more likely you're to be like, oh, this actually isn't as scary as I thought.
That occurred to me this year is when I was like, I have to stop being afraid because it literally never hurts. Nothing bad ever happens to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like last time I had to get blood taken, I was like, that was so easy. Like, and I know there are bad experiences where people can't get the needle in the right spot, but it just, I had to talk myself into that. So that's why I wasn't that afraid.
But that's
afraid
so interesting. It's like, I always think of that because someone told me at some point in my life about a doctor or nurse that didn't get it in the spot. Now I always think about that, but I'm like, I don't even know who told me that. And that's never happened to me.
That did happen.
Okay,
to
so
me.
Don't say it. Don't say it into the mic. Don't say it into the mic because it's like, that's just going to exacerbate fear.
Some will project it.
Yeah.
This was taking blood though.
We're learning from this study that's a great story. Keep it to yourself, babe.
Oh my God.
So they also found in a meta-analysis that it like varies by country, and Saudi Arabia and Israel have the highest fear of needles and Sweden and Germany have the lowest. And that
any reason or
no, like okay. it's like a survey found. Data. So okay. It's like, you know, obviously these studies go into reasons, but yeah. I'm like, girl, you just you saying stuff because you have to end your study.
We just know what the comparative population is.
Yeah. And so this is what I've just sort of been leading to because I find really interesting. So, and I think it will help because we're wanting to talk about this because we're wanting to make sure that everyone has open conversations because a fear of needles could actually lead to a big issue with this pandemic.
Totally.
And when we're working on videos about vaccine hesitancy, we're at this place where a lot of people are like, well, I'm just scared of needles. And it's like, okay, let's learn about it. So they have found an increase in survey data of women being more afraid of needles than men. And the theory, this one I'm actually going to say because it is just a theory, okay, is that women and mothers are the ones who actually take an active role in their kids' health, mm-hmm, and therefore have to be living through the experiences of watching their kids get needles. Mm. And that is
a
really
scary, traumatizing
like,
experience.
Yes. And it's like, okay, we need to figure out how we approach these things, and it's just an interesting sort of like other example of how, like, you know, women like do everything, and like women are like so incredible, and mothers are the most beautiful things in the world, and they obviously are the ones maybe having to experience this more. And what they found is that younger mothers, their kids are less likely to get vaccinated. And when I think about this relating to the other study,
as
which is that
as a choice of the parent.
As a choice of the parent and also inflicting fear on the kid. And then I'm like, remember the study that said the older you get, the less fear of needles you have. So I'm like, huh.
Maybe there's a link between an older mother being less afraid.
And then passing that less fear onto their kid, getting their kid vaccinated. So I'm like, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. If we're seeing that younger mothers are having more fear around needles, we need to actively target them with information, with specific coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
This is a challenging thing that, like, what do we do about this fear and how it could be a huge issue to us getting to herd immunity is sadly understudied. Like, I looked through so much research and was like, why are we not figuring this out? Everyone's like, we need to figure out how to get vaccinations without needles, which is interesting, but I'm like,
that's
we're not
being
there
developed
yet.
Right now.
Yeah. No, I know. That's
potentially
so important.
By the end of this year.
Yeah. Because it's
be
like
a pill.
I never thought of that. Like, the pill aspect of it could really decrease vaccine hesitancy because people are just scared of the needle.
Yeah. And even the idea of injection just seems, everyone's so used to popping a pill, you know? And so
I love to pop a pill.
So I just think in general, that medium is so much more acceptable, mm-hmm, where every other, like, obviously there are medical needle experiences, but there's also, I don't know, I just feel like people picture like shooting up needles and how that's
that's part of it. HIV stigma was a big part of it. Dirty needles was a big part of it. Part of coping mechanisms is to have the nurse, doctor, whoever it is, physician, talk through the process of how clean the needle is, opening the package in front of them, which to me, I was like, that seems scary. Because I like to like go on my phone and ignore. But it's like,
right, you're
yeah, it's like okay, crinkle. I mean, like it's sterilized and it's sanitized.
Do you look at it? You don't look at all.
Pulling the gloves. I don't look. No.
Today you didn't look.
She put
the needle on the table in front of me. And I was like, I looked at it. And then I went.
Oh, sorry. I look at the needle on the table, but I don't
want to go on your arm.
I was like, girl, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm staring at you on the table as like, gorgeous, gorgeous. Can I keep you? But
so you're talking about the needle?
Yeah, I'm talking about the needle. And the, oh my God, the woman was like, you can go. I was like, I love you. I was like, if I could hug you, I would hug you, but I know that's not allowed. And she was like, yes, it's not allowed. But, so yeah, like, I don't know. I think that like, talking through it isn't necessarily the best idea, but some doctors think it is. And another thing that people think helps is to not downplay it. A lot of parents and doctors apparently to kids go, oh, it's just, you won't feel a thing. But it's like the current knowledge is you go, you will feel a thing. So you don't, so you don't create a fear. I remember it being more
painful as a kid. That's what I mean when my recent epiphany was, this doesn't hurt at all. But I have memories of needles sometimes hurting. So maybe it's age. Maybe it's just being used to the sensation. But honestly, today I was like, I didn't barely even know if it went in yet.
I think it's just like getting old and like everything you've experienced.
Like my skin just doesn't have this. Like kids just have probably better like neuron communication.
Oh my God. No, I think it's more of like the idea of, you know, time goes faster as you age because you're no longer having new experiences.
So it's like the needle just feels like
yeah, like I think when you're a kid it's like, oh my God, you're about to like I've only been taught don't put metal objects in my skin, then all of a sudden my mom's rubbing my back and you're about to do this. That's so much more intense. And then you grow up and you continue to get them and you're like, okay, well, just another needle.
I was gonna bring up, you mentioned how often is associated with parents even and what the kid sees the parent is afraid of.
Yeah.
And that reminds me a lot of, I feel that, I'm not about to blame my parents, but my dad's really claustrophobic and then I think I am too, but sometimes I'm like, did I inherit that?
Yeah.
Which obviously could be genetically inherited as well or just behaviorally. I think I adopt stories that he's told about getting afraid in really small or stuck in a small space. And so I now my whole life have been claustrophobic. I'm afraid. Wow. I don't like elevators. I hate having like when I see people, and I know everyone feels this, but those caves that people climb through that like only your body can fit through. That's my worst.
Oh my gosh. Nightmare. Yeah. No, that is a deep, that is a very,
how do people do that?
That I think a lot of people have, again, from an evolutionary perspective, makes sense. Those people have conditioned themselves to for just not sure. Be, yeah. Like that's incredible feat.
But it reminds me of that where I'm like, maybe it is because my dad was afraid of it and verbally openly afraid of it.
Yeah. I think that like would be interesting for everyone listening to think. I mean, it's very common to look at your parents and how you're raised and to see those impacts. But I'd be so curious how many people's fears, whether it's of needles, of spiders or whatever, are actually something that you can think back on your life and go, oh, wait, my parents were afraid of that.
Right.
So as a kid,
and am I actually?
I didn't feel so safe around that because now that
obviously
they're scared.
If a parent's afraid, you're going to be afraid as a kid.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't have like a deep-rooted fear, except I used to be afraid so deeply of spiders, and I know I've said this before, I keep a tarantula underneath my not a real tarantula, a picture of a wolf spider underneath where I would study for homework, and then whenever I got tired I would pull it out and the adrenaline rush of looking at the scary wolf spider would keep me awake and I would continue to study cell biology.
That's not right. I mean,
are you kidding? That's like so clever. Genius. That's clever. So it's one of my most genius thoughts. Don't say it's not right, girl.
No, I just couldn't.
Espresso without
espresso.
I don't
know if I could study after being that scared.
No, you just shove it right back under. It's a picture of a wolf spider.
Oh, even right now.
So you're still, Mitch is still scared. You're scared? What are your main fears? Like, I'm like, how do you?
Everything.
No, but what would you, do you rank them in your head? Like spiders, you're so scared of spiders.
Yeah, I don't like spiders. I'm not afraid of ants. I'm not afraid of flies. So there are.
What about heights? Like, what are the?
I'm not really afraid of heights, but I get that. I don't know what it's called, but there's a phenomenon where you're like, you're gonna jump, aren't you? That's
the, oh yeah, I hate
like
that.
I don't like that. So what about, like, near a subway? I'm like, I don't like to stand near the edge.
But you are claustrophobic. You are claustrophobic.
Yeah, yes, not insanely. I will go in elevators and stuff, but I have been. I also got stuck in an elevator as a kid, so that was kind of scary.
Oh my god, maybe it's not your dad. Maybe it's that.
That one, yeah. But I have memories of my dad talking about a story getting stuck. There was like this. A rock formation that was a tourist site that you could go through, and you had to like shimmy your way through it, but it was like safe. But I remember my dad didn't get stuck, but got to a point and we all went through, and he had to leave and come out the other end and meet us.
Oh, when we were in Japan, we went to this incredible art installation that James Turrell, which is like,
I started and I turned around and cried.
Like, I don't know what that is, a fear of darkness.
Well, it was claustrophobia because I was like, so you go in, it's a really cool art exhibit, you go in,
it's
and
pitch
it gets
black.
Dark, and you're supposed to like, I guess, keep your arm
okay
on the sorry wall.
So like it almost reminds me of that, and that you keep your arm on a wall, and there's a tour guide person who you go in this way because it is completely pitch black for the first about minute to a minute and a half, because then what happens is your eyes starts to adjust to the darkness, and all of a sudden you're in this vibrant room of lights, but nothing has changed but your eyes' ability to adapt to the light. James Turrell, he's this famous light installation artist. It was on this beautiful art island in Japan. It was like this phenomenal experience. And for me, it was like really sad because it made me see that the fear was so getting in the way of this,
yeah, it was
like
real,
objectively
like
incredible
I
thing.
I think you might think I'm fake, not faking, but a moment like that shows if I'm willing to sacrifice a good experience.
Yeah.
Because of fear,
yes,
it's real enough.
That's a real
that,
fear. Yeah. It was a moment
not
for me.
Just being
yeah
like, I'm afraid. Yeah. Like I act. But yeah, in those moments, what was challenging is I definitely could have conquered that, but it's like, my voice just cracked.
I definitely could have conquered.
I swear
that,
I could have conquered.
Sure?
If I had more time, the challenge was when the fear strikes, I need a moment to come down from it. So as we were walking in, it was getting so dark, and my big fear is not knowing how to escape a space, especially if it's enclosed. Like, I need to be able to get out to open air. So being in small spaces, trapped with other people, I was like, if I don't know how to get out of here, then I'm going to be afraid.
Little do you know, your eyes adjust and you realize you're in a giant open
room. Yeah, I just wanted to know, aww, if I'm in there, I need to know how to get out. Yeah. And when I left, and so what happened was, because everyone was walking in and I didn't have enough time to like have it hit me and then go, okay, no, I'll be okay. I'll know this is the entrance. I'll kind of keep track in my mind. But because it was like I had to stay with the group, I was like, I don't have enough time. I can't go with you guys. If you could all wait 5 minutes, maybe I could come. But I wasn't going to ask.
I think it's like a 5 minute total experience. Because yeah, by the 5 minutes, they're like, okay, get out. We need 20 more people in.
God, what's wrong with me? I feel like every podcast, I'm just like, here's another
thing. Well, you have anxiety. You said it. Like, it's like, that's okay. Like, and you like figure out ways to cope with it. And you weren't able to see the James Turrell exhibit, but
no, but I wish I did. Others. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was for, you're right. And not that
like,
I
love the
faking,
idea of it,
but
I
was just
think
like, wow,
I
that's
could,
intense.
I could do it given the right amount of mental prep.
And there like, wasn't. It was honestly like a two, like it was very
with a group
like,
of like
it was
six
like
people.
It was like, is this Disneyland of art? It was like we're lining up and it was like, you know, you had your ticket and your time. Like there wasn't like much chance for you to not just follow the group at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I can't think of my parents' fears, but like I can, maybe that's the reason why I don't have as many.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's so interesting.
Just back to vaccines, there's a couple more things there, to needles specifically.
Okay.
Going back to the different types, and I hope I'm not repeating some things, but I just wanted to say there's four main types that I wanted to reiterate of fears. So the main one we said was vasovagal. That tends to actually be most people's fear.
Which is the fear of the fainting.
In a way, yeah. So because people, and that, like you kind of said, but you have a brief acceleration of heart rate and blood pressure, and then it drops. And so that's what makes people feel weak and often faint, sometimes leading to unconsciousness. And they say the unconsciousness for some people can be accompanied
the
by loss of consciousness can be accompanied by convulsions and like rapid changes in hormones.
And
in the
body. And that would
so
obviously mess
terrifying
you up to try and get a needle again. Yeah.
There is one other thing I'm not going to say here because it is about like death. Right? I shouldn't say that. No, okay, I won't say that. The other types are, do you want me to say it?
Well, I think you say it now because now it's like more fear around what are you even saying.
So,
but you should think about these things when you say it, like what's the best way to say it so it doesn't scare people to
not get needles. It's just a stat. It's a stat that thing has killed people. That extreme change in blood pressure. There's like 23 cases. They in 1995 did a review, and that from needles cause an extreme.
The fear
spike.
Of
the change in blood pressure. Yeah, of that. Wow. Like okay. It can be so extreme for some people. Obviously, it was probably people who or had extreme conditions or underlying health conditions.
But that's an example of why there are sometimes, like today, like medical personnel there, ready, mm-hmm. like waiting for anything yeah. that would go wrong. And the whole time exactly. we were there, it was like, obviously fine, but okay, that's worth knowing, I think.
Yeah, I didn't want to scare...
It's people. Scarier to just go, oh, death, moving on. It's like, what?
Okay. Well, I was like, if I knew that ahead of time, I might have been more scared. Yeah. Okay, the other kinds. Associative, we talked about this. People who specifically have had a bad experience on their own. Okay. So once you have a bad experience, even if it's as a kid, you carry that with you.
Yeah.
That's about 30% of people have that. One that's really interesting is called resistive fear of needles. Around 20% of people, they hate the idea of being controlled or restrained. So like because you have to stay still or someone else is technically like doing something to you.
It's oh like my that, God. And they want to like move their arm or something?
Not necessarily physically restrained, but to get a needle, somebody else is kind of not controlling you, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
a way of seeing okay. it. And then the last one, 10% of people, it's called hyperalgesic. And these are people who are actually just really sensitive to pain. And so in their minds or not their minds, like they get this experience and they don't understand how other people aren't actually
their nociceptors are popping
yeah they're
off.
Like how was that not so painful for you so I just thought that
so
was
those
cool
are the
breakdown.
Different types of fears of needles.
Yes,
that's interesting. And I think that this is all just an open conversation to not, you know, just skip over the fact that this is really scary for some people. Like I every single person I met today, I was like, I want to cry and hug you, but then when talking loudly, I guess because everyone could hear, including Mitch from 100 meters away in a giant freaking like Target. When I was talking, they were saying that she said three types of people who come in. There's the people like you who are crying right now and like really you. Yeah me yeah. sorry like me crying of joy, and then there's the people who are just like very like, yeah, you know, I'm getting my needle, like mm-hmm. I have to, I like, you know, work at a hospital, I'm a teacher, like this is just status quo. I'm not super excited. In fact, maybe I'm a little bit like, I should have gotten this a lot earlier. Mm-hmm. Like maybe there's a bit of like, okay, finally, because I was like so happy to get it. I'm like, I just sit at home all day. So I felt like honored. And then the third group, she said, are the people who are actually like crying out of the fact that they don't want it. They either feel pressure from their family or they're so scared mm-hmm. of needles right. and the whole experience is traumatizing and yeah. they're shaking and nothing about this is enjoyable to them. They're just happy to get it over with because whether they're actually afraid of vaccines and vaccine hesitant and they're being forced to by their family, or whether they're just afraid of needles and once the whole experience is over, they're going to be so happy that they have the antibodies and mm-hmm. things like that. It's just like she was like a third of people yeah. are really not enjoying this. Yeah. yeah. Whereas like I'm like, I honestly you're think it was the best day of euphoric. My year. Yeah, yeah. So I just think that's like
yeah, we
worth
definitely both felt
about.
Really good after. I did feel high on just excitement afterwards.
Yeah.
And that was a good
dreaming
feeling.
Of this. Mm-hmm.
We've been talking
so
about
long.
It for and to think there was a point when we thought a vaccine may actually not be developed till 2022, 2023.
Girls and boys, I thought this was going to be 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, I genuinely thought it was this time last year, I thought 3 years from now, would I be having this experience? And here I am a year later. Like, I'm just so happy.
I have to say, just a minute ago while you were talking, my neck felt a little sore and I literally had the thing happen where I was like, oh my God, am I going to have a really sore neck? And then
I look over, I'm like, you're passed out.
And
Mitch.
I have like a weird like swallowing thing. So I always test. I'm like, can I swallow? And then my heart rate just like went up really fast for like 3 seconds and then went down. I'd be curious if I was measuring my heart rate. It's always these quick wow. little like, it happens in spurts. I just was sitting
I'm
here.
Literally just sitting here being like, I love the world and the way that the trees breathe.
Like
you're just
attack.
Having a little panic attack over here, like smiling into the camera like Chucky the Clown. Wow.
So
okay, our worldviews are different.
Hopefully that, you know, I hear and see anyone else who has that, even when it's very much like a panic attack. And I haven't had that in a long time, but there was a time when I had, they would just kind of come. And I eventually associated them. They happened while I was driving on the highway. And then I would be scared to be in my car and have it happen because you start to get faint or feel your heart rate racing for no reason. And then your brain goes, why is my heart racing? Am I dying?
Oh,
what's
my God.
Happening?
Oh, my God. Yeah, all this spiral. Even just makes me anxious to hear. It's like, that's so scary.
What an awful, awful thing to have.
Okay, no, you are so lucky. I mean, I know you're Slytherin, right. No, and that's like, that's like, maybe it's linked to the Slytherin of it all.
No, the Slytherins would think I'm too weak.
No, I think Slytherins have panic attacks.
Some. Everyone does, Greg. You know, there's just a percentage of everyone, just like there's homos in all the houses.
Actually, like Harry Potter, like have panic attacks like a lot. Or is that just like because like a snake goes near him and he's
maybe
like,
maybe it's because
forehead.
The most evil person in the world is trying to kill him at all times.
Oh, yeah. Voldemort.
Seems like a reasonable excuse for panic attacks.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
We are so excited for everyone listening to get their vaccine when you have a chance to do it. I know it might be scary or not at all, but it's an amazing experience. It's a beautiful feat of science. We encourage everyone to enjoy it the best that they can.
And there's hope on the horizon.
There is.
Feeling good, at least, you know, in our northern hemisphere. Summer is coming. Easier to be outside. Lots more people vaccinated. I know there are some concerns and tragic things happening around the world, but hopefully this is a bit of hope in everyone's life. And hopefully for those of you who are afraid, we have helped calm some of those fears somehow or other.
Okay, make sure you subscribe, you comment on wherever you got your podcast. That helps with the algorithm. And we will talk to you next week about a new controversial subject.
See ya.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.